Okay, so we'll do a brief Parsha Chodesh Tov, everyone. So I was yesterday in the car. I was listening to a mini Parsha Shir by one of my my teachers, Roy Carrigan, and he pointed to this Meshech Chachma that I think he spoke about it for 20 minutes. I'll speak about it for five because it's Rosh Chodesh, and we have Shir Klali in an hour. But I do think it is an interesting point to think about in the context that he brought it up. The pasuk tells you that Yitzchak builds a mizbeach, you know, like Avram does. Though Avram builds many more mizbechot, but he builds a mizbeach. And he writes, "V'nei inyan b'nei mizbeach hayal afarsem nevua o'anes ashal ze bana mizbeach." The point of building mizbeach in each of these cases, Avram and Yitzchak, seems to be to either thank God for a particular miracle or publicize the message of a nivua, and that's what seems to go on throughout Bereishit. And that's why in Shemot, for example, it's called Hashem Nisi, God is my banner. And that's the point of a mizbeach. That's what you refer to them as. And similar in Shoftim. But then he notes, however, unlike Avram, who's building mizbechot all the time, Yitzchak doesn't build very many mizbechot. And the first time he gets a nevuah from God, he doesn't bother building a mizbech at all, which is weird. And if he's right, if the Meshech Chachma is right, the purpose of building mizbech is to publicize something, so then by implication, if you didn't build a mizbech, it's because you dafka don't want to publicize the nevuah you just got. That's the aberration. So he says, why not? So he gives two reasons. One, ki hayam mifached mipnei yoshev aretz pen zachara kenatam vo, v'yitzchak nilcham me'amav. Possibility one is Yitzchak, unlike Avram, is not someone who fights. He's scared. And therefore, he didn't want to publicize that he was going to get the land. Why does he build one now? Because he only builds a mizbech after he's made a peace treaty, they stop fighting with him about the wells. Once he's in good standing with the people, so then he does it. But if it's going to cause any sort of unrest, so Yitzchak is not the type of person who's going to handle that well, so he just avoids it. Hence, only at the end of the parasha, when things are good, so he builds one. That's possibility one. V'od ki haya neged darkei hamusar asher anshei haaretz shleimim mimito yabit l'nchol artzam. And he said, similarly, it wasn't the moral thing to do for people who weren't actively fighting him, right? People he was basically at peace with, for him to basically shove it down their throats and publicize, right? You know, be very frontal about the fact, I'm going to one day take your land. That's just not right, because they weren't doing anything wrong. And he was living there, and he was promised the land. He said, but the second nevuah wasn't about land. It was just God saying, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry, I'll take care of you, and I'll give you bracha. So he says, fine, that, bana mizbech, upersem hamareh. He can build a mizbech to publicize that God promised to take care of him, and that he's going to be with him. And in fact, that's the way the people respond. Because three psukim later, the locals say, Hinei ra'inu k'ayah Hashem imach. Oh, we see that God is with you. Right? In a chanami. Right? Because that's what he wants to do. Zel it galot k'vod Hashem elav avei. And Ray Targan point out, what I think was really interesting. And I'll give it to you all regal achat. If you want to listen to the 20-minute version, you can. But not before Shir Klali, was that, you know, from his perspective, the right approach to settling Israel when we have other people living here, right? Whatever you think is going to happen in the time of Mashiach, but the fact that the current reality is that we think, right, religious Zionists think that God is in some way involved in this process, bringing back to the land. But we're not working in some miraculous world, and the reality, the political reality on the ground, is that there are real people here that we have to deal with, and have their own claims to the land. Now, I'm not making a claim about in the time of Mashiach what will happen. I happen to side with those who think that as I mentioned on Thursday, that the ultimate vision of Torah, if you read it pretty clearly, is that non-Jews will always be in Israel, right? Meaning we have psukim that say the non-Jews that are among you, you give them the Nivelah and things like that. So there's no particular reason to believe that even in a Messianic era there won't be other people here. But presumably there'll be some shift in terms of political claims with Mashiach. That much I'm willing to assume. But be that as it may, what Ray Carrigan pointed out is that Meshech Chochma is actually saying something which is quite relevant in the political context that we live in. He's encouraging a vision where it says, even if you think you have claim to the land, even if you do, God promised it to you, there's no reason that you need to create controversy, right, and fight for no reason. That's point one. The second one is even more, which is, if people in the land are at peace with you, right, if there are people who want to live peacefully with you, then the Meshech Chochma says, even if you believe God gave you this land, it's just not the ethical thing to do to shove that in their face. Right? That's what he says. He says, as long as the people were peaceful with him, even though God promised in the land, but if they were being peaceful and they were following Darkei Musar, then you should reciprocate. And the way you settle in the land is with a recognition that there are other people living here who are peaceful and being moral neighbors, right? And that has to affect the way that you approach your claim of the land, even if you believe God gave it to you. And he said that, right, the more matun version of religious Zionism that, you know, we both learned from our Rebbeim. Obviously, he learned it for a lot longer than I did. But to not be... Right, to recognize that you can believe that God gave us this land and that God is involved in this process, but that doesn't lead you to give up pragmatism, and it also doesn't lead you to not be willing to make compromises and change the tone of how you communicate with the people around, especially when they want to make peace. And those people who want to make peace, that therefore you shouldn't have a message and present it in such a way that it's going to make it hard for them to want to talk to you, right? Because they'll say, we want to live peacefully, and you'll say, to hell with you, right? That's not, right? That's not how things should be, right? That it's legitimate and even the right thing to do to have a pragmatic, sensible approach to it, and to balance your belief that this land is ours with the belief that if people are living here peacefully, so that is something we can live with. Right? And we don't have to present our message in such a way that makes them feel rejected and chased out. Right? Those messages should integrate into a vision of religious Zionism that takes into effect the human beings that are involved, the other people that we currently share this land with, and should guide us in a more responsible way of approaching this very thorny issue that involves real people on both sides, many of whom, admittedly not all on either side, who want peace and want to coexist in some way or another. Okay, I think it's worth thinking.